This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, folks. It's good to be back this morning. Just had a heavy rainstorm in Old Metairie that just moved through, and that's welcomed for sure. Got a great show lined up for you today. We'll sit down with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. This week's crime show, we'll talk about a number of issues, 2024 shootings and homicides. We'll evaluate that and by district year to date. We'll also talk about the MCC awardees. They have their upcoming fundraiser in September where they give out awards for folks that went above and beyond as it relates to any number of investigations that were conducted by multi-jurisdictional task forces, individual agencies, and they have a great slate of speakers. And we will be broadcasting live from that event as well. We very much look forward to it. I know some of the keynote speakers are D.A. Jason Williams, Sheriff Joe LoPinto, as well as the governor of the great state of Louisiana, Jeff Landry, and others. So we look forward to that opportunity coming up in September. Michael Glasser, president of PANO, will join us at 11:30. We'll get an update as it relates to NOPD recruiting, working with Troop NOLA, the state police, the morale of the department getting ready for Super Bowl. And also there's been some stories, and I've talked about this extensively, about the downstream implications of the revenue department and accounting department of the city and not being able to pay vendors on time. The council has been paying close attention to this, trying to bring in a stream of accountability, shining the light on the process or lack thereof. It seems as though they're beginning to get their act together. Hopefully they're beginning to take pride in the work that they do and understand how important their role is in the overall functioning of government and what happens when it doesn't work at all. That it's not just busy work, it's meaningful work that takes independent thought, and every decision that's made and every handling of every document that flows through that office has an implication. One, it may be positive. Two, it may be incredibly negative. And in recent stories on Fox 8 News, they were talking about the condition of district stations. Some of the newest district stations having window units. What? They were just built. They were built because of the condition down and out, that is, of the previous district station. And it seems as though within a very short period of time, we've moved right back to where we were before. Now, how does that happen? It happens because we're not minding the ship. And we'll talk to Michael Glasser about, I mean, you see the videos that were presented, and you got a brand new building with window units. I mean, it's just incredible. We'll talk to Cynthia Lee Shang in the 11 o'clock hour. this dispute over this bus advertising contract and what has flowed from there, it's a little mystifying that we would go outside to the public to try to influence an internal deliberation that is documented in a thousand ways from Sunday, and yet we still can't get on the same page as to where we are. People are imputing language into the RFP, RFQ, whatever that was sent out. I read them. It doesn't say what a lot of people are saying it said. I'm looking for the poison pill. I don't know. We'll find out where that was, how it was. I listened to Tommy Tucker's interview of Jennifer Van Ranken, who was my district council person for a long time, and I actually supported her in her election. I don't understand why we are going and burning this or blowing this whole thing up and not working this out and gaining a better understanding of how this process works. And so we'll get to the bottom of that. And the parish president has been pushing back on that issue as to what actually happened. We'll join Hans von Spakovsky at 10:30, senior legal fellow, Heritage Foundation, talking about the federal courts in their most recent ruling relative to this keeping families together notion. And I call it a notion because I don't know exactly what it is. I think it's a circumvention of the law. It's been tried by the Biden administration many times. I'll give them this. They're very hard-headed. They don't, obviously don't get it. They keep trying to do workarounds of this parole in place notion that's out there, which is really a stretch of the authority of the executive department, in my view. When you're increasing the number of folks that you're bringing in immigration, I think that that requires a legislative expression, otherwise known as action by Congress, before you're able to do that. And the federal courts have repeatedly slapped back on the Biden administration on these issues, and we'll talk to Hans von Spakovsky about that coming up at 10:30. There tonight, a lot of folks are looking forward to this interview. I not so much. Dana Bash is the one who's going to be conducting it. I went back and looked at her interview of J.D. Vance, and it was really kind of interesting to see, as though she was the defender or the lawyer for not only CNN, but other members of the mainstream media in the way that they're handling information. There's a comment made by J.D. Vance relative to a number of Tim Walz lies that are just blatant lies that he has been puffing for his resume over his years of service and focusing in on that. And it's interesting because her comeback to that is Trump's bone spurs. Now, what is Trump's bone spurs in getting a deferral to being drafted have to do with lying? Does she have evidence that he didn't have bone spurs? Because she didn't bring forth any evidence that there was no bone spurs. If you've never had bone spurs, you can, I can tell you they can be incredibly debilitating, so much so that I had to have a complete total shoulder replacement as a result of those. They kept repeatedly coming back. I had five in my shoulder the size of a thumb, and I couldn't even lift my arm above my shoulder because it was too damn painful. So it's interesting how we counterattack on something by bringing forward something about his running mate that she has no evidence that it wasn't meaningful or that it was just made up and that he didn't have any bone spurs. And, you know, it's like, is that the role of the media? If you don't have it, why are you trying to bring it? So it's going to be interesting to see whether or not Dana Bash this evening is going to end up being the cheerleader for the Democratic Party. And we're going to find out whether or not there's going to be any challenging questions as it relates to policy. some of the stuff that has been revealed thus far has gone like nowhere. In fact, bipartisan criticism of a lot of the policies that have been brought forward thus far. These price gouging manifestations that are being engaged in by this administration with little or no evidence to support the accusation. And in a capitalistic economy and society, I like to ask the most apparent question of everyone. If you have a business, are you not trying to make the most profit that you can make each and every day? And there's a delicate balance as to what consumers are willing to pay and what they're not willing to pay. And I have yet to meet an organization that is not trying to step as close to that line as possible on any given day. And that's to include not-for-profits that are running for-profit operations for a not-for-profit umbrella organization. So these little sound bites, they sound great, but I mean, it's just completely, totally counter to the manner in which this economy works and businesses operate. And they talk about these CEOs like they're two-headed Gila monsters. Well, they have obligations, fiduciary obligations, to a whole lot of people, investors, stockholders, and others. And they have to balance those interests against the interest of society at large each and every day. And sometimes those decisions are not that easy. They're very difficult to create that balance. Some happen to be able to do it more than others, depending on the nature of the company, the nature of their financial statements, whether they're in a successful position or in distress. But if you've never been inside of a boardroom of an organization that is out there trying to make it happen each and every day, you don't understand these concepts, these principles of how this actually works. And that's what really comes out in my mind, that these individuals have never been there. They haven't had to make these tough decisions. They haven't understood the balance of the fiduciary obligation that you have to investors. And these investors, I know they want you to believe that they're all sitting around in a cigar smoke filled room, at some country club or private club, and that's all there is. Well, every one of you that have a 401k, you're an investor. Every one of you that have a deferred comp plan, you're an investor. Every one of you that have a retirement system, that system is an investor. And in fact, the way that you improve your financial position and whether or not a pension fund is actuarially appropriately funded is because of investment decisions that they make. And they themselves are putting pressure on these companies to extract profits so that the value of their stock portfolio goes up. And they're able to give you a cost of living adjustment, otherwise known as COLAs, or otherwise, you are an investor. So don't fall prey to them trying to make you believe the only investors of any consequence in this country are those smoking Cuban cigars in a country club or private club, because it's not true. It is not true. And the fact of the matter is, your own private banks, there's a connection between the success of that bank and the products that they're willing to offer to their customers and how much risk they are willing to take. And the ideology of whether or not they're going to be more aggressive or not. And you know what? That impacts your life each and every day. The return that you're making on your money market account, or the return that you're making on deposits, or the CD amounts that are being offered, the special promotions that are being offered by your bank. That bank makes investments. Indirectly, you're impacted by that. And more often than not, if they're successful, you will have the ability to enhance your investment or the instruments that you utilize that that bank has to offer. And in the end, you are an investor. It's amazing to me how we don't connect these dots. I just simply don't get it. But they would have you believe again that there's just a small group of people here that are the only ones making money and that no one else is impacted by any of this. Now, if you want to buy that, go right ahead. It's your right to go ahead and buy that. My simple suggestion would just simply be challenge them. Have them explain to you why you would not be impacted and how they're going to go about putting in place what they're trying to put in place, that it only impacts those cigar-smoking individuals in a private club or country club. And it's amazing, too, how in today's world, as many female executives that we have out there that are true difference maker, that are incredibly bright, incredibly smart, understand the concepts of capitalism and are very successful in their own right, there's never the negative connotation applied to any of them. It's only males, right? And it's like any time that that presents itself or reveals itself in that fashion, you know that it's BS. And I'm turned off totally by it from the first step when they go down that path. Because they're faced with those same challenges as any male executive is, the female executive, same thing. It's the position. It's the fiduciary obligation that you have. But don't disconnect yourself from the economy in this way, because you will be impacted. And every investment you make, you're out there fighting for that extra dollar, right? You're out there fighting for that extra dollar. Some people have been very successful. I know a lot of people that started out with little or no money, no legacy money, made a lot of right choices in the stock market, and created a lot of wealth for themselves over the years. And now we have an administration that wants to come in, and this present administration as well, that wants to punish all of these people that have been able to become very successful. And the threshold today that they're talking about is if you have $100 million or more, that they want to tax unrealized gains. You invest in a stock, it increases in value by 50 cents a share. You own 1,000 shares, right? You've increased your value. And the moment in time, I guess, or the average over a year, you know, the devil's in the details, they want to tax you on that, but you've never cashed out of the stock. So this year you could be having a gain on it. Next year the stock could go in the tank. If you want a stock to go in the tank, give it to Newell Norman, and if I invest a dollar in it, I can promise you, you can invest on the short because that stock will go to the toilet. There's no company out there that wants me to invest in it because I will drive the price down. That's been my success rate in the stock market, the complete opposite. So don't divorce yourself from the overall capital markets, the economy, because it's just simply not true. But they keep driving this as though it has no impact for you. One thing for sure, typically when the tide is rising, it rises for all. In fact, more often than not, you see your 401k value going up. It's a very strong tool, investment tool, utilized by who? Middle income people, right? Every day, Jane and Joe walking down the street, setting aside a little nest egg so that when they retire, to have something extra on top of Social Security so that they can actually make that decision. But the moment in time you're dragging a sector of the investor down, if anyone truly believes that that's not going to have an effect on all others, just look at history. It has a tendency to repeat itself. We'll be right back after the break. We'll visit with Hans von Spakovsky about the most recent court ruling on keeping families together. This is Newell on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are joined by Hans von Spakovsky, Senior Legal Fellow at the Heritage Foundation, talking about Keeping Families Together program, which is a parole in place that the Biden administration continues to try and apply, and the courts continuously beat them back on this issue. As I said earlier, I believe that this is something left up to Congress, the legislative will, to determine these programs as to how they want to go about managing immigration. Hans, welcome to the show.
Newell, thanks for having me back.
So, Hans, if you would, describe for the listening audience this attempt at this, I call it a notion, because I'm not sure what else to call it, this parole in place that applies to all kinds of things that historically has never been appropriately utilized in that fashion.
What this case is about, and remember, 16 states sued over it, and fortunately the judge has issued a temporary restraining order against the government. Look, immigration law says that if you're in this country illegally and you want to apply for citizenship or to become a permanent resident alien, you first have to leave the country. You have to go back to your native country, wherever you came from, and from there you can then apply. And if people think about it, that's there's a good reason for that. It's common sense, because if you allowed people who were here illegally to apply for citizenship or permanent resident status, there would be no reason for them not to cross into the country illegally. It would be like a magnet to pull even more people, because as long as they could get into the U.S., well, then they could apply to be here legally. That's the law. That is clearly set out in federal immigration law. And the Biden administration basically has said, we're going to ignore the law, and we're going to put a program in place that says that if you're the spouse or the stepchild of a U.S. citizen, even though you came into the country illegally, we're going to allow you to apply for permanent resident alien status and or citizenship. They can't do that. As you said at the beginning, look, if folks think it's a good idea to allow this, fine. Congress can change federal immigration law. But the president is not a dictator, even though he's acting like one, who can just say, guess what, I'm going to rewrite the law and we're going to do this. That's what this is all about. It's very simple.
Well, what makes this even crazier to me, there are people similarly situated who are outside of this country, attempting to come into this country, who are actually married to U.S. citizens or the stepkids of a U.S. citizen, who continue to wait, and because we're involved in these notions, these programs to try and circumvent the law, and it just pushes them back. I talked to someone in Turkey on this show many years ago that has waited 17 years to get into this country and is furious by what's going on here and the advantages that they're giving to folks that are crossing into this country illegally and the benefits that they receive. And meanwhile, they're trying to do it the right way and they can't get into country.
Yeah, no, that is absolutely right. Everything the Biden administration has been doing is totally unfair, fundamentally unfair to aliens abroad who are actually abiding by our rules, abiding by our laws to get into the country. And, you know, make no mistake about it. I'm a big believer in and supporter of legal immigration. But what they are doing, what the Biden administration is doing with illegal immigration is a disservice to all of the legal immigrants around the world who are trying to get into the country. Like I said, I just can't think of anything more unfair than the situation you've just described, which applies to a whole lot of people.
Hans, I have to kind of chuckle, too, because these same folks are I look at this institution called America's Voice. They're one of the largest pro-immigration policy, I guess, I'm not if they're a think tank or whatever, activist group that's out there promoting this. They're complaining about a federal court applying this stay order, and which is exactly what they did during the Trump administration. They engaged in the same practice over and over and over again, even in things where the president had the authority to do certain things.
That's
they
right.
tried to stop them from doing it. And I just find it really ripe that they're now complaining about this. They mastered it. I mean, they tied the Trump administration up in knots over that four-year period relative to immigration.
Now, that is true. They are the ultimate in hypocrites. I mean, in this situation, you have a federal judge applying federal immigration law. Look, there's no grayness here. There's no ambiguity. The federal immigration law here is absolutely crystal clear, and the president doesn't have the power to do that. On the other hand, for example, as you'll recall, those groups who are now complaining about this court order are the same ones, for example, who sued the president when he closed down the border to aliens coming in from terrorist nations, saying he didn't have the power to do that, even though, once again, as the U.S. Supreme Court held, there is a specific provision in federal immigration law that gave the president the power to do that. By the way, Newell, that's what made – remember the discussion some months ago over this supposed – compromise immigration bill that was being pushed in the Senate. And remember, President Biden said, I need this bill. And if Congress will pass it, I'll sign it and I will immediately shut down the border. That was such a lie by Biden, because as that case that I was just talking about that Trump had, they went to the U.S. Supreme Court. Biden already has the power to shut down the border today, and he isn't doing it.
And they know that all too well. And
yes.
And that's why this misdirection, deflection, denial, evasion, and then they counterattack you by, and I remember it. I remember talking about it on his show, and I remember talking to you about it. We were all xenophobes as a result of that case, and it had nothing to do with that. And it's some of the same challenges that we're having now from a Homeland Security perspective that we're allowing folks in. And the same thing came,
right.
You know, just to try and to pivot real quick, over these illegal migrant children. You know, that everybody went running down to the border talking about this, talking about that, the Flores case agreement, the whole nine yards. And now the most recent ICE reports indicate that they've lost track of 320,000 illegal alien kids in this country that they brought in, sponsors that these kids don't even know, and they don't even know where they are.
That case shows also the unfettered hypocrisy of the left and those who believe in unchecked immigration. Look, you and I both know, you particularly with your background, you know that if social services in this country discovered that you as a parent had handed your 10-year-old kid over to smugglers to smuggle them into Mexico, what would the Mexican authorities do if they caught that? They would immediately hand that kid over to U.S. authorities. The U.S. authorities would hand them over to social services, and you would be in court as a parent being criminally prosecuted. All of these unaccompanied children coming across the Mexican border, instead of what DHS is doing, which is transporting them all over the country to so-called sponsors, they should be immediately returned to social services in Mexico to be taken care of there. That's such a simple thing, and yet we're not doing it.
Well, we have this duality all the time, right? How we treat U.S. citizens. I always complain about this, that we should have a U.S. citizen privilege. I make no excuses about it, you know. But the moment in time that you do these workarounds for everyone else, and we're in a disfavored position, you know, in many respects,
right.
It doesn't align very well for me. It's like, what are we doing? I mean, as you pointed out, I would be prosecuted and I would be sent to jail.
Yes,
but
we continue
to do workarounds to help perpetuate and promote the practice. It's like, what? How do we square this up? It makes no sense to me. And then the taxpayers in the end are footing the bill for all of this as well, right?
Right. The costs are huge. I mean, yeah, it's not just federal taxpayers, but actually the majority of the costs of this huge influx of illegal aliens into the country, that is borne by local taxpayers. They are the ones who are really hit with the huge increased costs of the housing, the health care, and the education of these kids in local schools.
I get these texts all the time whenever I speak about immigration. Why don't you address the companies that hire these people? It's a good question. Why aren't we?
I'm not opposed to that. I agree. No, I agree 100%. In fact, let me tell you, if I was in the administration right now and I was at the U.S. Justice Department where I used to work, I would be going after the biggest employers who are hiring and retaining aliens who are in this country illegally. I would do everything I can to prosecute them and hopefully, I mean, not only because they've broken the law, but also because that would hopefully act as a deterrent to other companies across the country. And not only would I do that so that it would act as a deterrent and to punish them, but because, listen, when these companies hire illegal aliens, they're doing it for one reason, because they can pay them lower wages and lower benefits. And who does that hurt? That hurts U.S. citizens, particularly those at the lowest end of the socioeconomic scale.
Sure. You know, everybody's trying to eke out the profit. I just did this in my monologue. I mean, there are some things about the capitalistic system that folks take advantage of that are not in the best interest. I mean, you know, some folks are able to work that balance a little better than others, but those when it comes to this issue, then that balance doesn't work to the benefit of this country at all, I don't believe. Your thoughts?
Oh, no, I agree with that. And look, there are also, I mean, not only should there be prosecutions going on, and there aren't. You know, this Justice Department under Merrick Garland and under this president has no interest in actually enforcing the federal immigration laws on working. But look, there are actually some changes that need to be made in the law. You and I both know that if, for example, you want to hire a veteran over someone else who is equally qualified under the law, you can do that. I bet a lot of people don't know that one of the worst provisions ever put into federal immigration law in the 1980s was a provision making it illegal for you to discriminate by hiring a U.S. citizen as opposed to an alien who's in this country legally and has a work permit. The idea that you can't prefer you American citizens to me is just unbelievable, but that's part of federal law.
Yeah. They work hard to make sure that there is no citizen privilege at all, period. Question, you know. And I scratch my head as to why, you know, we think that that's a great idea. We can do both. We can have a robust, proactive immigration system because it is necessary, you know, to have a well-ordered and structured immigration system and do exactly what you talked about. They're not mutually exclusive.
No, in fact, one of the reasons that there are now such huge long delays for legal immigrants to this country is because so many of the resources of the Department of Homeland Security are being used for illegal, to deal with illegal immigration. And every time the president comes up with another unlawful program to basically administratively give citizenship to illegal aliens in this country, all the resources dedicated to that program, that's taking time away from the legal immigrants who are abiding by the rules. So actually, listen, if we got a president who built a wall, closed the border for a while, that would be a huge help to aliens who have legally applied to come to the U.S.
No doubt, for sure. And almost everyone agrees with that position, certainly. We're up against the clock. Hans von Spakovsky, Senior Legal Fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Thank you so much for joining us. Always appreciate your time and your insight. Have a great Labor Day weekend.
Thank you. Same to you.
All righty. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Stay with us. We've got Chuck on the talk lines. What say you, Chuck?
No, I know there's illegal and there's legal. And I spent a lot of time with my girlfriend getting her daughter-in-law here from Chile legally. It took several months and thousands of dollars. But there's a lot of difference between these American companies that outsource all their jobs to India and China at the expense of American jobs when we need people to do hard work here that can only do it here physically, like picking crops and putting roofs on houses.
Well, the most obvious difference is it's legal. It's not illegal. But there are provisions in law that these U.S. companies have to adhere to when doing so. And the way that revenue and things of that nature are captured and how they're accounted for, there's a whole host of provisions that deal with those types of relationships, many of whom many companies that have violated and actually have been prosecuted for same. So there's a number of provisions that have to be provided. There are a lot of different things that we just don't have available here, whether it's time constraints or otherwise. And obviously, the labor's cheaper over there. And I agree with you. I'd like to see more jobs here domestically, more production here domestically. And for whatever reason, we have been reluctant to actually encourage these companies to do so, whether it's by tax treatment or otherwise. But they are competing globally, not just within the United States. And that's what's driving a lot of the decisions that they're making each and every day. Thank you for the question, Chuck. We got no time left in this segment, so we'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. And Canada, as liberal as they are now restricting or limiting the number of migrant workers that they're allowing into their country because they recognize the implications of same and the challenges of a number of the areas of that country that they're not able to deal with. When we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Cynthia Lee Shang, Parish President, Jefferson Parish, about the political firestorm over the buses. We've got Chuck on the talk lines. What say you, Chuck?
Newell, I know there's illegal and there's legal, and I spent a lot of time with my girlfriend getting her daughter-in-law here from Chile legally. It took several months and thousands and thousands of dollars, but there's a lot of difference between these American companies that outsource all their jobs to India and China at the expense of American jobs when we need people to do hard work here that can only do it here physically, like picking crops and putting roofs on houses.
Well, the most obvious difference is it's legal. It's not illegal. But there are provisions in law that these U.S. companies have to adhere to when doing so. And the way that revenue and things of that nature are captured and how they're accounted for, there's a whole host of provisions that deal with those types of relationships, many of whom many companies that have violated and actually have been prosecuted for same. So there's a number of provisions that have to be provided. There are a lot of different things that we just don't have available here, whether it's time constraints or otherwise. And obviously, the labor's cheaper over there. And I agree with you. I'd like to see more jobs here domestically, more production here domestically. And for whatever reason, we have been reluctant to actually encourage these companies to do so, whether it's by tax treatment or otherwise. But they are competing globally, not just within the United States. And that's what's driving a lot of the decisions that they're making each and every day. Thank you for the question, Chuck. We got no time left in this segment, so we'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. And Canada, as liberal as they are now restricting or limiting the number of migrant workers that they're allowing into their country because they recognize the implications of same and the challenges of a number of the areas of that country that they're not able to deal with. When we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Cynthia Lee Shang, Parish President, Jefferson Parish, about the political firestorm over the buses.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.